Alright, so I'll tell you a bit about the distribution I'm making for mobile phones and why it's really useful and what happened in 2019 and this almost half of 2020. Surrounder, maybe reconnect. To see if the sound works. Yeah, okay, cool. So, yes, working towards a stable smart phone. First, tell you a bit about what my Molesta is. We decided to make a new. Old new distribution for mobile phones. In the beginning, in 2009, it was released by Nokia for the Nokia N900 phone, and a lot of hackers adopted it and liked it because it was a nice device you could use and you could install many kinds of software, and it was free and open and hackable, unlike other smartphones from that time and most of the smartphones in the future. We based it initially on the first stable release of Devon, which is also a distribution I'm part of the developer team. And recently we upgraded it to the current stable Devon release. And soon enough we will also upgrade it again because we managed to streamline this in a simple way. One big advantage of my Molesta is that we don't use the patched kernels like most Android phones do, and all the vendors just have a few people working on a kernel, and it just produces planned obsolescence because they stick around with really old Linux kernels that don't even have mainline support anymore. It just works on their device. So usually in every 2 years you have to either buy a new phone or completely upgrade your Android and lose all your data just because there is some security update to the kernel or whatever. What we did in my Molesta is just using mainline, and we can package it as a dev package, and you can just apt update and you have a secure system. And the biggest advantage of using my Molesta is that you have a whole Linux experience. You have a command line, you have a graphical interface that's standard. You can use any software that you can use on your computer. You can choose any init system that you like, anything. So it's freedom, it's hackability, and of course bugs, but since it's open source, you can fix it yourself and send patches. Why we just did it is because of the lockdowns. Today we only have iPhone and Android. So you either pay 1,000 euros for a completely closed source phone that looks nice and probably performs nice, but you can't do much. You can only install proprietary apps from a proprietary app store. With Android, it's similar. It's also nice looking phones and HD screens and whatnot, but you still don't have any kind of freedom to install stuff, and it's all planned obsolescence in my opinion, because it all depends on really heavy software and heavy cores like Java or Swift in iPhones, and all of this heavy stuff that requires a lot of computing power. Instead, it's with my Molesta and Devon, you can reuse old devices and recycle and be green. We wanted also an open and a hackable platform, so most of us like using the command line to do things, And my molester makes it possible, but it also makes it possible to write your own interfaces, whether graphical or command line, and just use them. You don't have to install or even pay for an app. The third point is that it's really fun. It's a great resource to learn. I learned a lot of things since I started working on my molester. I learned a lot about hardware and hardware bring up. I learned how to reverse engineer software. I learned how to write better C code. I learned how to optimize code. So it's all fun and a really good learning curve for a programmer or anyone that's, or even hobbyists. It's practical. Yes, 20H, of course. The first point is it's practical. Lots of software exists, meaning if you have a Debian system, there's maybe 60,000 packages, and you can use all of them on your phone. On Android, you can kind of get here with these apps like some terminal emulators, but you again get locked down to command line. You don't have any graphical interfaces. I think it's called Termux or something. And the last point is it's community developed. So we have an IRC channel. We have a big wiki. We have some kind of a bug tracker, and a lot of people just use their medium of choice to get into it and help us out. So I'll start with what we did from the beginning of 2019. A little bit of history before that. If I remember correctly, we are now doing it for 2 years, two point something years. So I won't talk a lot about 2018 because we didn't do much. It was mostly set up and preparing a good ground for our future development. But anyway, about 2019, we managed to mainline a lot of our code that we had forked from the mainline Linux kernel, and we managed to push it back into mainline. So it's now possible to just go to kernel.org and download the latest kernel and having it work on your phone. What we are missing still is some PowerVR patches that are underway but still need a bit more work because having a driver included in the kernel is kind of strict and for a good reason. So it should be a bit more polished and better written. But to speed up development, we have it on the side. So when the time comes, we will just work more on it. And for context, PowerVR is the graphics GPU on OMAP phones like the Nokia and the Motorola. We managed to make the Nokia phones charge maybe also 100% faster than initially. And we did a lot of benchmarking for this, and we figured out how it's possible now to charge the phone a lot faster and almost at a 1 amp rate. With the Droid 4, we got a 20H. Yes, it's less, but the battery is smaller, and the Nokia can last you about a week without charging. That's the point. So you don't need a lot of time to charge it, but also the power usage is low. With the Droid 4, we have Ofona support, which is a modem, open source modem software written by Intel, and this was a stepping stone to get us to working phone calls and SMS, and also 3G, 2G, and 4G, and soon 9G. I think in March 2019, the Pine 64 community announced the Pine phone, and they sent us a few of development kits so we could get MIMOLS working on the Pine phone development kits. The first one was called Anakin, and the second one was called Don't Be Evil, which is a reference to Google's cock when they removed the Don't Be Evil from their code of conduct. Also in February, we gave a lightning talk at FOSDEM and got a lot more people interested in MIMOS. So we saw a spike in our IRC channel, which I can check now it's 80 people in the community now on IRC, which is nice. We got support for 4G, and we wrote some connection interfaces, so now if you have a SIM card in your phone, you can automatically just click a button and connect to 4G, and you can disable it whenever you want. We wrote interfaces for games, so we have really good support for games, because it's a nice entry for users. Users like seeing stuff moving on the screen, so games are a nice way to show the capabilities. We have a lot of console emulators, like Super Nintendo, Game Boy, PlayStation 1, basically things that are in RetroPie also work on MIMOLS, and SDL, of course. So you have Pi game and many things. Mill 2019, we got working calls and SMS. We have a standard way of doing that, so as long as there is support in a phono for the modem that's in the phone, we can get working calls and working SMS. It's still through the command line, but it's usable, so there is an API that can be used, and it should be easy to write a graphical interface to this. Audio quality is a bit bad, but we will eventually implement some filters and noise reduction. Some devices already have it in the hardware, DSPs, so it's also possible to do it with the ALSA or some certain ALSA plugins. Later in 2019, the community started working again on the Lima driver, which is a 3D driver that's a part of MISA now, and it's an open source GPU driver for the Allwinner ARM CPUs and GPUs. So that's like the Olimex devices, that's the Pine phone, and that's many cheap devices, so you don't have to spend a lot of money for a good device anymore. We also got, as I mentioned before, we got good working patches for PowerVR and on the Droid 4, so it also performs really fast now. In November, we did a talk in Bulgaria on OpenFest, so it got even more people interested, and we kind of dominated Eastern Europe with this. And end of 2019, we applied to a Dutch organization called NLNet to give us some money. On the second try, we managed, and I'm happy about that, because it seems there are still some organizations that support this and respect our decisions to have a more private platform on our phones, because such a thing doesn't exist anymore. In 2020, we expanded our infrastructure to support community packages, so anyone can now just maintain a package for MyMolesta, and if you have some interesting software that's not available in Debian, you can just easily package it and we will build it for you. We have an application manager, which is a graphical interface to Apt, and it's much like an app store, but better and faster. And just by a click of a button, you can update your entire system. We have a native PDF reader, which was a part of initial MIMO in 2009. We reverse engineered parts of it, and now there's a graphical interface with a standard way for many PDF backends. So you can read books. There's portrait mode, which is it's called portrait mode on Android, and you can use the accelerometer to turn your screen in portrait or landscape mode, but we prefer landscape mode because MyMolesta is imagined to work in landscape. More games, because it's fun. And in February we gave a FOSDEM talk on the main track, which was quite successful, and we did it in collaboration with PostMarketOS. PostMarketOS is also another nice mobile distribution, but they have a different philosophy than we do, and they are trying to support as many devices as possible. So they stick to vendor kernels and they stick to proprietary Android drivers. We try to avoid this. Then later on we moved to the current version of DevOne, which gives us up-to-date software and all the latest goodies. We got completely working phone calls on the Motorola, so you can actually type a command in the shell and make a phone call, and you can do the same for SMS. There are certain interrupts that happen when you receive a phone call, so if you have something listening for the interrupts, you can then do notifications and this kind of stuff. It's all completely modular and works really nice. We have a lot of accessibility stuff, so we have translations in a dozen languages for our system, which some of it was done by the community, some of it was done by Nokia before. And the PinePhone got released a few months ago, I think, or in March or something. Yeah, it was called Braveheart, and it was sold out immediately, and I think they will start selling it again soon with some hardware revisions and better optimized performance through some magic. And yes, so that's what happened in short. It's just an update, and if you want it, I can give you Motorola Droid 4 devices if you want to help out with some coding tasks. It's mostly C code. Graphics is GTK and Qt, and the system is just basic C code with, and sometimes it's glib and sometimes it's dbus, but it's easy. And you can also get images at this link. There are images for some hardware devices, and there are images for virtual machines. We have the wiki on this address, and our channel on Freenode is MyMolesta, so you can join and ask questions when you start using MIMO. So yes, quickly, this was the update. Are there any questions? Yay, claps. Thank you. So IRL asked systemd phone D. Yes, it is possible to use systemd, but we don't really support it and none of us use it. But there was one developer from Belarus who ported some essential parts also to systemd. So if you want freedom of choice, you have it. I personally use OpenRC, and we based MyMolesta on OpenRC, so that's where it works best. Alcohol sound, no, not yet. It's just water now, but it's in a glass, so maybe it sounds like that. 20H asks, do you store all the tracking data of MyMolesta on that computer under your desk in your apartment? No. We don't track anything. So, no. But on that computer, I have DNS and some build machines for our packages. And yeah, the next discussion is also part of this, where I will talk a bit about build machines and building packages. Joshua asks, how hard will the broadband hardware handling be? Firmware and or drivers? Well, it depends on the hardware itself. Ofono supports a lot of modems, and usually the firmware is included in the hardware itself, so you can just get it working in this way. Drivers are part of Ofono, so we usually don't have to write drivers, and firmware can usually be loaded through the Linux kernel if it's not in the hardware itself. There is still not a completely open source modem, but for example on the PinePhone you can shut it off with a hardware switch even, but also you can RF kill it with the command line as well. 20H asks, how long I can play Doom 3 on my MyMolesta without recharging? I haven't tried Doom 3, but I tried Doom in an SDL emulator, and I think you can play it for maybe 8 to 10 hours with sound. So it's decent. We are still working on better power management, but we are in good really good state. So I'm happy about that. Doom marathon, yes, and maybe we should also have Doom in the game room. ADC asks, is there a MyMolesta developer consensus on touch UIs? I assume a smartphone with a QWERTY keyboard is much more enjoyable than touch only. An earning touch UI middle layers would be a lot of work, but suitable hardware seems limited. We have our graphical interface is based on GTK 2, and we have quite some code that actually handles touch. So we support touch screens as any other mobile platform, and we also have a virtual keyboard that just works. So I don't see. I can use the PinePhone just fine, which doesn't have a hardware keyboard. So I don't think it's a problem, if I understood your question correctly. Joshua asks, you're welcome, ADC. Joshua asks, what stack does it involve for phone calls? SIP, all managed by some chip? You can do SIP. It's a separate stack than the modem, because SIP is just the internet. So you can install Ekiga or any SIP client and make phone calls. The audio is actually a bit better through that than it is through GSM. For phone calls, the stack is just the hardware modem, which has hardware data lines to the CPU, so it can make interrupts. In the user space, it's a phono and a D-bus that listens to those interrupts. And you also use the phono to make calls and do SMS. So it's a phono. SkinGrapher says, could your work be paired with the open hardware phone project? It already is. The PinePhone is open hardware. Well, in a sense that the schematics are there. I think currently the only proprietary thing on a PinePhone is still the modem. But we still have no solution to this. So if anyone is a hardware developer and works with basebands, maybe it's a chance to figure out a new modem that works. But it's getting more and more difficult, because we have new GSM standards, new 5G, 4G things, which nobody tackles because it's big and very complicated. So I think it needs some specific company or funding to work on such a thing. 20H asks, will I get a job at that web company when wearing a Molesta phone instead of an iPhone? Depends on what web company, I guess. The default browser in My Molesta is Surf, and I made it work really well with the touchscreen, so you can also pinch, zoom, and scroll with a finger. So it works really well, and it's fast enough on the Droid 4, and the PinePhone, yes. Yes, Surf is excellent, and it was really simple, just write a toolbar for it, so it looks like a quote modern unquote browser. Okay, any more questions? If not, I will move to the next discussion. Thanks, everyone. So, yes. Thanks for the flowers and the claps. Blue.